This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Khatimatun fi adabil dhikri al-muttafaq alayha. خاتمة في آداب الذكر المتفق عليها. الحمد لله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a tawfiq to go through the majority of this book, and today inshallah it's the last chapter of this book. He ends this book with an ending, خاتمة. This is the conclusion, or this is the ending, you can say. He says, and this one, after speaking about the adab of everything else and the rights of brotherhood in the long discussion that we've had, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the author. This one ending is about the etiquettes of dhikr, the etiquettes of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the etiquettes, he said, that are agreed upon. He says there's numerous etiquettes, but these are the ones he's going to mention which are agreed upon. The reason why this is important is because many of us sit and do some dhikr. And inshallah, these adab and etiquette, if they are observed, then we'll get more from our dhikr. And you'll find that some of them we neglect. And that's why we probably don't get the whole benefit of any remembrance that we do, even the small amount of remembrance that we do. So inshallah, even if we can sit for a few minutes to do our dhikr every day, at least if we observe the adab, we'll get a lot more out of it. So that's why this is beneficial. So he starts off and he says, اعلم وفقني الله وإياك إلى دوام ذكره أن آداب الذكر إذا كان باللسان 26 أدبا. He says, no, and then he gives a dua in between. He says, may Allah give myself and yourself the tawfiq to permanently remember him, to permanently be remembering him. He says, know that the etiquette of remembrance, if it's with the tongue, if you're doing dhikr with the tongue and it's not heart dhikr, it's not the inner dhikr, but it's the one with the tongue when you're reading or chanting something, repeating something, then he says there's 26 adab, there's 26 etiquette that should be observed. مِنْهَا مَا هُوَ سَابِقٌ عَلَى الذِّكْرِ مِنْهَا مَا هُوَ حَالَ الذِّكْرِ وَمِنْهَا مَا هُوَ بَعْدَ الْفَرَاغِ مِنْهُ. And these 26 that he will mention, he says some of them are the etiquettes that should be observed before you even start the dhikr. And then there are some that you should observe when doing the dhikr, and there will be some that have to be done after finishing dhikr. How many of us think of doing anything after dhikr? We just, as soon as we finish, we think we're so much accomplished. It's such a big deal that we've even been able to sit there for 5, 10, 15 minutes to even read something. Just khalas, salamu alaykum, let's go. You know. So these are things that inshallah will help us to get the most of our dhikr. So there's adab even after dhikr. He says, the pre-etiquettes, the ones to do before you start the dhikr, there are five of those. First one, الأول التوبة النصوح, to do a sincere tawbah, sincere repentance. Reason why sincere repentance is because when a person who has repented, who is pure, remembers Allah, that dhikr is going to go very far. It's going to be a lot more significant when it reaches up to the angels. And then when it goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to hold a lot more significance because it's coming from a pure heart, going into the pure court. Otherwise, it's going to be polluted. So that's why it's always a good idea to do tawbatun nasuh. A tawbatun nasuh, which means to do a sincere tawbah. وَهِيَ أَن يَتُوبَ مِن كُلِّ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ مِن قَوْلٍ أَوْ فِعْلٍ أَوْ إِرَادَ. This means for a person to repent from everything that was unfavorable, that was bad, that was not supposed to be praiseworthy, whether that be something he said, something he did, or even something he thought to do, an irada, something he desired to do. Just ask for Allah's forgiveness and do tawbah from all of these things. وَفِي كَلَامِهِمْ. And he says that it is among the statements of the people of Allah, مَنِ ادَّعَ التَّوْبَةِ وَمَا لَإِلَى شَيْءٍ مِّنْ شَهَوَاتِ الدُّنْيَا الْمُبَاحَةِ فَهُوَ كَاذِبٌ. Is there anybody who is claiming to do tawbah and repentance, but he is still inclined towards even a permissible desire of the dunya, then he is not telling the truth. He's a liar in that regard. Because tawbah means a complete return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar means to ask Allah for forgiveness. But tawbah means to go back to Allah. That, oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness and I come back to you and I'm remorseful of what I've done wrong. That's the first one. Sincere tawbah. Number two, al-ghusl aw al-wudu. To do a specific either ghusl or at least a wudu. So you're in a state of purity. Even if you have wudu from before, it's a good idea before that, just to show that I'm refreshing my wudu, refreshing my purity. So inner purity, sincere tawbah. That's inner purity. External purity through the wudu. Al-thalith, tatyibu thiyabihi wa famihi. To apply fragrance to the clothing and your mouth, because you're going to use the mouth for dhikr. That's why there was a person in London, apparently, who on every Friday would sit to recite, to send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what he would do before doing that is he would take rose water and he would gargle with rose water so as to make his mouth smell nice with rose water, so that he could take the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with rose water. Now this is people who really understand these things. You know, I once visited another town and the person who took me around, he had a BMW. And you could tell that he really loved his car because of all the extras that he had invested in for his car. You know, that this, that and the other, all these little bit extras. They don't come with the car. You have to spend money and look for these things. For example, when you open the door, then it creates a splash light at the bottom with a BMW sign at the bottom. So, you know, there's light there and it looks like a BMW. These are all extras because you love this thing so much. You can only do this if you've got time on your hand. I mean, many people don't have time, but they'll make time for these kind of things because they're important. So a person who really loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to take his name, he wants to fragrance his mouth. That's the same kind of understanding. You might call that obsessive, but I'd rather be obsessive about something like that than about my BMW, if I had one. Do you see what I'm saying? It's that kind of a thing. People love things, memorabilia and things of this nature. So, clean the heart, clean the self, ghusl wudu, fragrance, the clothing and the mouth. That's why generally a lot of these places, they have bakhur in dhikr gatherings, bakhur. That's why. Al-rabi', the fourth point is tahrir niyya, to purify the intention, clearing everything, purifying intention, getting it right, really being very specific. Why am I doing this dhikr? وَهُوَ أَن يَكُونَ الْبَاعِثُ لَهُ عَلَى الذِّكْرِ امْتِثَالُ الْأَمْرِ لَا غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ, which is that the only reason you should be doing your dhikr, the impetus for your dhikr, is to just follow the order of Allah to remember Him. Nothing else. Not doing this to show anybody else. I'm not doing this so that people will say, look how much dhikr he does, and look how big of a wali of Allah he is, or whatever the case is. But this I'm doing only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Khamis. The fifth, مُصَاحَبَةُ التَّعْظِيمِ لِلْمَذْكُورِ, which is to bring with you, to take, مُصَاحَبَة means to bring a companion, to have a companion with you, صاحب, literally speaking. So what it means is to bring with you the honor of the one you're remembering, which means to have that with you all the time in your mind, that the one I'm remembering, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most majestic, the grand, the mighty, the most honorable. That's who I'm remembering, the Mu'azzam. That's Azim. That's what it is, to keep that in mind. This is a great that, a great entity that I am remembering. How can I fulfill that right? When you know it's something great, it's someone great, then you're going to do more to try to please him. So it's going to increase and improve your dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we need to write these out and put them online because people are going to forget them. So it's something that we probably need to print out and keep with us when we do dhikr, so that okay, we can observe them, then inshallah it'll become second nature and improve our dhikr. So those were the five things to do before you even start your dhikr. All this sense of purification and clarity of intention, and to understand who you're remembering. Then during the dhikr, that's when you have 16. So 16 plus 5 is going to be 21 so far. Then there's going to be some for at the end. after the dhikr. So there's 16 adab for during the dhikr time. Al-awwal al-julus ala makanin tahir kal-julus fi tashahhudi salat. To sit in this, to sit like you do in tashahhud, in salat, you know, in the straightforward way, and to sit like that in obviously a pure, clean place. So the best of places will be the place you pray. You generally pray. There should be, everybody at home should have a place for prayer. You might say, well, I pray in the masjid, that's fine. But the Prophet ﷺ said that don't make your houses into qubur, into graveyards, that you don't pray anything, then you only restrict your salat to the masjid. Your home needs barakah as well and blessing. And every time you make salat, you are essentially attracting and invoking that barakah. That's why when you come in the masjid, we say, Allahumma aftahli abuaba rahmatik. Oh Allah, open up the doors of your mercy for us. Because that's basically what we want. So, sitting in that kind of a place. Then, number two is wad'u rahatayni ala al-fakhidhain. Just like you do in salat, you place your two palms on your on your thighs, yes. Placing your two palms on your thighs, as you do in salat, just the adab way. You don't want to be like relaxing and doing dhikr, you know. Unless you're really tired one day and you're just relaxing and you're doing dhikr. But when you do a serious dhikr, then you want to be sitting properly for it. Al-thalith, istiqbalul qibla. Again, this is adab, to face the qibla. That's the direction we pray in. Now, when we're doing dhikr, we're also doing a prayer to Allah, in a sense. We're invoking Allah, so that's why you face the qibla in that regard. In kana yadhkuru wahda. This is if you're doing dhikr alone, in your own place, then in that case you face the qibla. However, wa in kanu jama'a tahallaqu. Tahallaqu. If you're in a group dhikr gathering, then you make a halaqa, you make a circle. Because there's a hadith related about this by Imam Ahmad and Imam Tirmidhi. He says, Hasanun gharibun, it's a sound narration. From Anas radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. When you pass by the orchards of Jannah, of paradise, the gardens of paradise, then go and spend some time in there. Go and graze in there for a while. So they ask, what is Riyadul Jannah? وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ? He says, حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ. These are circles of dhikr, gatherings of dhikr. If you pass by them, then you should go in and benefit from it. You know, it's like allowing your sheep to go into the pasture and allow them to eat from the green foliage that's there. So that kind of an idea. These are, hilaku dhikr are the gardens of Jannah in this world. So that's where he's getting this from. So if you're in a group, then you can do, the Prophet said, hilaku dhikr, which means circles of dhikr. So literally, you could have a circle. Al-rabi' tatiyibu majlis dhikri. To also have some fragrance in the majlis of the dhikr for everybody, not just for yourself. One is for yourself, the other one is there. That's why they have their bakhur and so on. Number five and number six, dawamul ikhlasi was sidqi, to constantly be sincere. So in between, if somebody's going past or something, you still have to make sure your sincerity is correct. That people are looking at me, that means they're going to think this about me or that. You see, shaitan's always ready. Shaitan's going to be ready at the outskirts of this gathering. Because this is a gathering of dhikr, he's going to have to go far. Because he can't stay where there's dhikr, right? But every chance he gets, he's going to try to corrupt our intention. So throughout, person is going to have to be constantly mukhlis, sincere and truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about why he's doing this. So sincerity and truthfulness throughout. As-sabi', seventh, is أن يكون المأكل والملبس حلالا. Eat and his food and drink should be halal. Surprised why he's put this in between, because he's not going to be eating during this time. This, I'm assuming, in my understanding, should have been beforehand, pre-etiquettes. So his food and drink must be halal, otherwise it's not accepted. Al-thamin, أن يكون الموضع مظلماً. The place that they're doing the dhikr should be dark. Should be darker, not bright. The reason is that brightness creates distraction. Darkness allows you to focus more. And this is how the state was during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't have, I mean, the kind of light we have right now here, I don't think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever had this kind of light at night. Daytime, yes, the sun is brighter than anything. But mashallah, with these daylight, this is the one masjid that has daylight, fluorescent lamps, not the yellow ones, which is great, right? But I don't think in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would have it as bright as this. This is, subhanAllah. I remember once in our masjid, on the 27th night, we decided that we're going to shut down most of the lights and just keep a small light on. And somebody said, what are you guys doing? This is bid'ah. And subhanAllah, it's clearly not a bid'ah. In fact, this is a bid'ah, because this is unusual from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That time it was always dark. They had a few lamps here and there, a few olive oil lamps or something like this, you know, some zayt or something like that. This is bid'ah. But it's just, I don't know, people, they don't like unusual things. They think this is mystique, this is strange. So it must be bid'ah, right? Anyway, but having it darkened is better. And then he says, تَغْمِيضُ الْعَيْنَيْنِ مِنَ الذِّكْرِ. Number 9 is to keep your eyes shut when you're doing dhikr. Now you might say, why are you closing your eyes for? Why are you shutting your eyes for? He says, because when a dhakir, a person who's remembering Allah, shuts his eyes, تسد عليه طرق الحواس الظاهرة. All of his external faculties generally shut down then, because your eyes is what stimulates you. The eye causes a lot of stimulation in terms of, you know, it's easier to ignore what you hear than what you see. It's a lot more curiosity there. So if you shut your eyes, then your general faculties will also shut down, shay'an fa shay'an, bit by bit. And then, وَسَدُّهَا يَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِفَتْحِ حَوَاسِ الْقَلْبِ. And when a person is able to shut down his external faculties, that then gives room for the internal faculties of the heart to open up. And subhanAllah, that is just so true. Because we are so distracted outside, we hardly get time to think properly in this world now. Because we're just constantly running from one thing to the next. So we have absolutely no time to even think about our akhirah, right? We are just so busy and so distracted. And when we're not busy doing anything else, then the biggest distraction is our phone these days. Even when you want to lie down to rest, somebody says, I want to lie down to rest. They will rest with their phones. So I said to somebody, I thought you wanted to go to sleep. He said, this is how I go to sleep. I tire myself out like this until I can't take it any longer. Then I fall asleep. That's what we do. We don't think for ourselves anymore. We always need external stimulus. So now shutting down our eyes helps to shut down our external distraction facilities and then open up our inside facility, and then our heart becomes connected to Allah. Otherwise, try to focus on Allah only when you're doing dhikr just for 5 minutes and see how difficult that is. See if you can just for 5 minutes continuously only remember Allah and nothing else. Unless you've got practice, you will not be able to do that. Within not even a minute, within 30 seconds if you're lucky, you will be away somewhere else. You will be away somewhere else and you'll have to come back. And then you'll be away somewhere else and then you'll have to come back. Try it. You can't focus on Allah for even 5 minutes. Then how do we get our salat right? Same thing happens in salat. In fact, it's only the people who are learning how to pray salat do a better salat than professionals in salat, you know? Because they have to focus on what's next. They have to focus, so they always focus. But those of us who are, mashallah, automatic, then we can just allow ourselves to go. And we don't remember Allah, subhanAllah. I wonder what face we're going to show to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really a sad fact. With practice, then you can remember Allah 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, you can get into it. What I found to be helpful is that if you have a kind of an alarm that goes off every 2 minutes, like a little beep or something. So if you are distracted with that beep, you remember you should be doing dhikr of Allah. So then you come back. So it's not like if you're doing dhikr for 10 minutes, then you will just, for the whole 10 minutes, you're away somewhere else. Subhanallah. Anyway, that was number 9, which was to shut the eyes. And number 10, istihdaru ma'na dhikri. Clearly, you can't just be chanting things. This is a big problem for people who are not Arabic understanding. If they know that they have to say certain things, they don't know what they mean, they're just saying it. And even for people who understand it, because it's distraction of the mind. The tongue is able to say something and you will be thinking about something else. It's a possibility. It's an absolute possibility. We have that ability to do that. So that's why he says, to keep in mind the meaning of the dhikr you're doing. La ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. There is no God except Allah. All praise is to Allah. Alhamdulillah. You know, to have this in mind. That's real dhikr. And then number 11 was Allah yushrik ma'ahu ghayra. To obviously not add anybody other than Allah to your dhikr. Clearly that's understandable to have no shirk during that time. You're not thinking about, that's shirk we're doing basically at that time. When we're thinking about anything else during that time, we're doing shirk. So not to bring anybody else into the dhikr in our minds. الثاني عشر, the 12th, number 12 is نفي كل موجود من القلب سوى المذكور. Clearly, which is to try to negate anything that's existent in the heart except the one you're remembering. So not bring any idea in the heart, any other idea in the heart except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الثالث عشر أن يكون جهرا. Number 13, he says to be to do it aloud. To do it aloud, maybe the reason why he's saying this is because when you do it aloud, you generally are able to focus a bit more. It's much more difficult to do a dhikr of the heart if you're not used to doing dhikr of the tongue. However, according to different orders, different tariqs, they will, they focus. Most orders, they will tell you to do dhikr aloud anyway. It's only the Naqshbandis that tell you to do it silently, except one lesson or so. Number 14, أَن يَكُونَ بِقُوَّةٍ تَامَّةٍ. When you do your dhikr, it should be your full energy, not a lazy dhikr. You should do it with your full energy, full resolve. Put everything into it. Give it everything. That's what it is. Al-Khamis Ashr, أن يخيل شخصا شيخه بين عيني. For a person to think that his shaykh is in front of him. Why would you think that? When you're doing dhikr, why would you think your shaykh? So that it's, you can think that somebody's watching you. That means be at your best behavior. You could take it like that. So it's like Imam Ghazali says that when you're about to do a sin, you should think, or when you're about to pray salat, you should think that if there was a respectable person from your family watching you, wouldn't you improve your prayer? So there's nobody there. This is just training until you can do it yourself, until you can think Allah is watching you. Because most people find it very difficult to think Allah is watching them. But they can expect somebody else to watch them. So imagine your shaykh is sitting there, and you know he is watching you, supervising you. There could be other meanings in what he's saying here as well. As-sadis ashar, number 16, ijtinabul lahn. In what you're saying, you should avoid going against you should basically avoid what's the best meaning of this, making you can say errors and mistakes in the way you read it. Lahn is a mistake, right? For example, in salat, in your qira'ah reading, you're reading incorrectly. So if you're saying la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, whatever, but you're saying it incorrectly, you should avoid that. You should say it right. Because there's people, because they do it so much, so many times, sometimes they kind of slur it. Sometimes they eat the words, they chew the words, they don't say it properly. So avoid all of that. Read it correctly. It's the name of Allah. Read it correctly. So ijtinabul lahn. So that was 16 during dhikr. Then, وَأَمَّا الَّتِي بَعْدَ الْفَرَاغِ مِنَ الذِّكْرِ فَخَمْسًا. There's five left now. And these are for after you finish your dhikr. To get the most of it now, not just run off straight away. But now, what is it? الْأَوَّلْ ذَمُّ النَّفْسِ لَحْظَةً. For a moment, for a few moments after you think, just to blame, criticize yourself. Did I do this right? Why can't you do it right? Why can't you have the focus? So to criticize the self, to censor the self for a moment. Number two, because it's like, you know, when if you did something for somebody and said, look, I'm really sorry, I wish I could have done it better. If there were some mistakes in there, then they'll realize that you're apologizing for that regard. You're not arrogant about what you just did. So I'm apologizing for the offering that I've made. Number two, Allah يشرب حتى يمضي عليه درجتان أو ثلاث. He shouldn't drink anything. This is what I've understood from this. Number three is أن يسكت سكتة طويلة. After that, remain silent for a long time, for a good amount of time. Just remain silent for a while. Just remain silent for a while. And الرابع ترقب وارد الذكر. Anticipate and wait for the warid of the dhikr, the benefit of the remembrance to come to you. Which means, after you've done the dhikr, you've invoked a lot of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmah, the nur. So just wait to receive that. Meaning wait to receive it all. Don't just run away. Right? Because when a person does dhikr, he is just, lots of things have happened. You know, when you do dhikr, angels surround you. The sakina comes around you. All of these things, when you do any kind of dhikr, these things happen. So enjoy that benefit from that. Get the benefit of it. And then al-khamis, al-shukr ala al-taysir wal-istighfar min al-taqsir. Beautiful. Thank Allah for facilitating this for you, that He allowed you to sit for 10-15 minutes. And do istighfar for any shortcomings. Oh Allah, thank you very much, al-shukr, for the fact that you've allowed me to sit here and do this. But I seek your forgiveness from any shortcomings and mistakes in this regard. That is very important. This shows a humble servant. فَهَذِهِ آدَابُ الذِّكْرِ الْمُتَّفَقْ عَلَيْهَا. These are the agreed upon adab and etiquette. وَأَمَّا غَيْرُ الْمُتَّفَقِ عَلَيْهَا فَكَثِيرًا. There are many that everybody doesn't agree with it. You know, some say you should do this, some say you should do that. But those are additional. أَوْصَلُوهَا إِلَى مِئَةْ adab. 100. They say there's another 100 etiquettes. This is enough. He says there are 100 more adab that are differed upon. In fact, some say up to 1,000 adab. You know, you can add a lot of things to this. وَلَمْ أَرَ فِي مَشَائِخِ هَذَا الزَّمَانِ شَيْخٌ يَعْرِفُ لِلذِّكْرِ عَشْرَةَ adab. He says, however, I don't see from the mashaykh of this time any sheikh who even knows 10 adab of dhikr. If you ask them, how many of us knew this adab of dhikr? How many of us knew that there were even adab for dhikr? It's a big accomplishment if you can sit and say La ilaha illallah for 5 minutes. Who cares about adab? I'm saying La ilaha illallah. That's more than enough, you know? So this tells us how to get the most of it. Subhanallah. Tanbih. أفضل صيغ الذكر هو إدارة كلمة الإخلاص. He says the most superior, most virtuous formula for remembrance is to repeat the kalimatul ikhlas. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah. This is afdalul dhikr. Fa inna laha atharan azeeman. It has an mighty effect. It has an amazing effect. La yujad fi ghayriha. It's not found in any of the other adhkar. Min sa'il adhkar. It's not found in any of the other adhkar. There are numerous ahadith. تكاثرت فيه الأحاديث في فضل لا إله إلا الله. In fact, قال حافظ ابن حجر في فتح الباري. ابن حجر العسقلاني mentions فتح الباري لا يتعين للذكر شيء مخصوص. You know, it's not necessary to do any particular kind of dhikr at any time, right? لا يجزئ غيره. يعني where you know you only have to do this and not others. But anything that is considered the dhikr of Allah will suffice as a dhikr of Allah. Obviously, تلاوة القرآن قراءة الحديث النبوي والاشتغال بالعلم الشرعي. But remembering Allah, لا إله إلا الله is أفضل الذكر. لا إله إلا الله. Then الحمد لله, الله أكبر, and سبحان الله, and لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. These are they have so many fadail. Now, if you want to put all of these together, it's سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله ولا إله illallahu wallahu akbar. So you've got subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, and la ilaha illallah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. So basically, whenever you are sitting or in a bus or anywhere and you just want to remember something, this, if you bring this whole majmu'ah, this collection here, you've got it all. It's got all the best of the adhkar there, the cream of the crops. This is like the best package that you can get. Then he says, جعل بعضهم للسكتة المتقدمة ثلاثة آداب. You know, he says that then remain silent for a while. After you finish your dhikr, then remain silent for a while. You know, because endure. He says some of them, and he refers to Imam Ghazali by this, he says that they've mentioned that there are three etiquettes to be followed in that silence. What should you be doing in that silence?
أحدها استحضار العبد أنه بين يدي الله وأنه مطلع عليه.
To think that for the person to think in his mind, to have this presence in his mind that he is standing, he is in front of Allah, and that Allah is watching him. Allah is completely aware of him. To have that in mind. Number two,
جمع الحواس بحيث لا تتحرك منه شعرة كحال الحرة عند اصطياد الفأر.
For a person to keep control of all of his faculties to such a degree that not even a hair moves, just like a cat is just so silent when it is hunting for a mouse. How fast is a mouse? The cat has to be really, really quiet and stealthy. So that's like a person should just completely just relax so that not even a hair moves. And number three,
نَفْيُ الْخَوَاطِرْ كُلِّهَا وَإِجْرَاءُ مَعْنَ الذِّكْرِ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ.
And to just keep the thought process completely clear. And only to continue the meaning of the dhikr in the heart. So it's like an extended state from the dhikr, to keep it like that. That's why people who do genuinely good dhikr, when they finish their dhikr, they're like in another world. That's how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was as well. That's why after his tahajjud, when he used to finish his tahajjud, he used to always lie down for a while. And he used to sleep like this, with his hand, his resting on his elbow, and his head resting on there, so that it's not full sleep. It's not like this on the ground, but like this on the ground. So he'd be lying down like this. And the benefit of that is that you can't fall fully asleep. Now the question they ask is that, why did after tahajjud, before fajr, why would the Prophet ﷺ lie down specially for that? There's numerous reasons just to rest after his long vigil and so on. Others have explained that this is to gain aradiyat again. This is basically to come back down to earth. After, you know, spiritually being elevated, so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just to calm down, come back to the dunya in a sense. You know, when you get so engrossed in something, you know, people watch movies, they get so engrossed. After the movie, you're like, hello, are you still around? They're somewhere else. They, you know, and it's an artificial movie. It could be something made up, and they know it's made up, but they get so into it. Star Wars, it's obviously made up, right? All this sci-fi stuff, it's made up. But people after it, they're just so impacted, so influenced by it. They're like in another world. They're still living there, even though they know it's out of the world. It's different, it's not reality. So if that can affect you like that, then why can't dhikr affect a person? It does. It's so powerful if you do it right. So that's why enjoy it. Like a person just sits there after, wow. Can't believe that. It's amazing. Totally awesome. You know? So with dhikr, that's the kind of feeling of complete engrossment. You know?
Subhanallah. Tanbihun akhar. Another note he provides here. قد علم أن الصواب في حق الذاكر إذا سكت وسمع قوالا ينشد كلام القوم ألا يتحرك ولا يتلفظ أو يمدح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن يصلي سرا لا جهرا.
Sometimes in gatherings, they will have somebody reading a nasheed just to get everybody going. They call him a qawwal, real, not the weird qawwali with the music and all that kind of stuff. This is talking about, you know, the munshideen who are just trying to encourage, they're reading some praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What should you do in that time? He says, well, the person should be silent, should sit, not stand up and start jumping up and down, right? Allah yataharrak, he shouldn't move. He shouldn't say anything. Or he should just be praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he should yusalliya sirran la jahran. He should be doing salawat silently, not loudly.
And then he says, وَهَذَا آخِرُ الرِّسَالَةِ الَّتِي اقْتَضَتْهَا الْبَطَالَةِ وَلَعُمْرِي مَعَ صِغَرِ حَجْمِهَا إِنَّهَا لَكَثِيرَةُ الْفَوَائِدِ لَا يَرْغَبُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا عَدُوًّا أَوْ حَاسِدٍ احتوى أو احتوت على ما لم تحتويه الكتب الكبار تستحق أو تستحق أن تسمى برسالة الأنوار أخبارها وجيزة آدابها غريبة عزيزة.
He says, and this is the end of my treatise, the end of my book, which was required by chivalry for us to provide this, and by my life, despite its small size, it has huge, abundant benefits in this book, and clearly we've seen that. And the only person that will ignore this is either an enemy or a jealous person, an envious person. Otherwise, anybody who's not jealous or envious, they will not ignore this book. It comprises of that which even large books, large tomes do not comprise of, and it has all the right. It is entitled that it be called Risalatul Anwar, the treatise of the lights. And that's why you call it Al-Anwar fi Adab al-Suhba. That's what you call it, Al-Anwar, the lights, right? Akhbaruha wajiza, the things mentioned inside, its information is very brief, very concise. Adabuha ghariba aziza, but the adab that are mentioned in there are very unusual, very valuable, because he's done that job. As'alu Allah ta'ala an yanfa'a biha man katabaha aw qara'aha aw sami'aha. This is a huge dua for all of us. He says, I ask Allah Most High that He benefit by it the one who writes this book. Because in those days you didn't print books, you wrote, you copied books. There were no printing systems, there was no photocopiers, no scanners. If you liked a book, you would sit down, borrow somebody else's manuscript and copy it out, or get somebody, a warraq, a scribe, to copy it out. So he says, I ask Allah that He benefit by it the one who writes it, who reads it, or who hears it. Inshallah, that's all of us included. And وَأَنْ يُجْزِيَ خَيْرًا مَنِ اطَّلَعَ عَلَى هَفْوَةٍ فَأَصْلَحَهَا. And may Allah reward with goodness the one who finds a typo, a mistake, an error in there, and he corrects it. He's not telling any Tom, Dick and Harry to do this. He's telling the ulama to do this if they find something strange in there, you know. Otherwise, in this time and age, people say, oh, I don't agree with that, let's change this. Let's take it out. Right? They do this nowadays. وَأَنْ يُصَلِّيَ وَيُسَلِّمْ عَلَى مَوْلَانَا وَسَيِّدَنَا مُحَمَّدَ الْكَرِيمَ الْأَمِينَ. And that he send his blessings and peace upon our master, our leader, Muhammad, the noble one, Al-Ameen, the trustworthy one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَى سَائِلِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ. And all the prophets and messengers. وَعَلَى آلِهِمْ وَصَحْبِهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And likewise, all their families and their companions, all of them. عَدَدَ ذِكْرِ الذَّاكِرِينَ. How much peace and blessing should be sent on them? The number of the remembrance of those who remember. So all those people who are remembering Allah, that's how much more. وَسَهْوِ الْغَافِلِينَ. And also the negligence, to the amount of the negligence of those who are heedless. That much. Right? That's a huge number. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. And may Allah's blessing be upon our leader, Master Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin, and upon his family and companions. And may he be given the peace, abundant peace, until the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and assist us. Just to explain to you how this book came about, I didn't know that this book existed, but a brother from Florida, may Allah bless him, may Allah reward him. He had studied this book when he had studied in Syria, I believe, many years ago, and he really wanted this published. So he had somebody translate it. And then he was looking for a publishing company to publish it. So he offered it to us, that look, this is what I've paid. You pay me that much and you take the book and you publish it. So that's how we became introduced to this book. And mashallah, it's a wonderful book. And while I've been teaching this and going through it, over these weeks that we've done this, I've been looking at the translation and editing it and refining it. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah reward him, reward the translator, and allow us to complete it quickly, and may it be an accepted piece of work, because it has kathir al-fawaid, many, many, many fawaid. And yes, there are definitely things in here which are difficult to understand and maybe even difficult to implement in this time and age. But not only is it just a book of adab, but it actually tells us of a given time and place, Egypt, Cairo, you know, of 200-300 years back, and how people thought at that time, and It's amazing. There's numerous benefits in here. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward this author, Allama Sha'rani, one of the great people of that Egypt has given, the mothers of Egypt have given birth to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a source of Farahud Darain for him, success in both worlds for him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his grave with light and give him Jannatul Firdaus.